And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, everybody. Do you remember where you were on the day that those airplanes crashed into the Twin Towers? 9/11. Can you tell me exactly where you were? I can tell you exactly where I was. I was in the waiting room at Wesley Medical Center. There was a lady that was having surgery there, one of the members of the church here. It was June Rader, and I was there with her son, and I walked in and I looked up, and a building was on fire. And I asked, what is that? I'll never forget that, especially when the second plane crashed. I'll never forget how devastated we felt as a country. And I remember the elders calling us together, us coming together and praying, some even weeping over what had happened. It makes us wonder, where's our country going? And it makes us wonder, where's the world going? What's happening to the fabric of life? I didn't miss that. In John the 6th chapter, there was an event that happened that those people didn't see. We'd already read about it last week in the feeding of the 5,000 plus. The 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Being distributed among all those that were hungry, and they ate as much as they wanted to. And when they were done, there were 12 basketfuls that were picked up of broken pieces that were left over. And I tell you that that event is much greater than the event that happened on 9/11. Because Jesus proclaimed that day, I am the bread of life. And he didn't just proclaim it, he proved it. But as we see from this context, Jesus, knowing that they were going to make him king by force, withdrew himself to a solitary place. And when he did, the apostles got in the boat and crossed over the sea to the other side. And that night, Jesus was by himself. He walked on the water that night, crossing out to those of his apostles, his disciples. And they were terrified when they saw him. And Jesus said, Do not fear, it is I. And the Bible says they welcomed him into the boat. The next morning, the people wake up. And you know how things are in the morning. You're hungry. You're ready to eat. And they start looking around and they notice that the boat that was tied up there, I'm not sure what would be the right term, Stan, the boat that was tied up there, harbored there, if they had a harbor, was gone. And so was Jesus and so were the apostles. And so they go looking for Jesus. 2 boats come and they travel to where Jesus is now and they are looking for him. And they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? And why don't you have breakfast ready? Now that's really not what they said. I'm just seeing if you were paying attention. But they did say, when did you get here? And the reason they said that was because they were ready to eat again. Not because they saw the miraculous sign. So this morning I want to talk about the work of God. I want you to understand that the work of God should be more memorable than the tragedy of 9/11. The Word of God should be more treasurable than anything else on the face of this planet. Oh, we'll never forget where we were on certain events. I remember when the space shuttle blew up. I could tell you exactly where I was standing in the little room of the preacher's house in McCune, Kansas that day when that tragedy happened. But folks, there are things that have been done by God that have offset every tragedy. And that is the giving of Jesus Christ. That has offset every tragedy because it has given us a hope and it has given us a purpose in life. Three things this morning, very quickly. I want to talk about the first point is you missed it. You missed it. Because that's what Jesus said to them. The very first thing he said to them when they got there was you missed it. Look at verse 26. I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. If you didn't read God's word this week, you missed it. You missed the most important thing that you could ever do in your life. In Luke chapter 11, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 11, we want to look at verses 33 through 36. You know, what our eyes do for us, you know, what we see somehow affects us on the inside. And if we're looking at things that are darkness, that are evil, they corrupt and pollute the mind. And they turn us into things we don't want to be. And so Jesus talked about this in Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 33. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. What Jesus is telling us is, it's up to you to decide whether you have good eyes or bad eyes. Because if you're not looking at Jesus, you missed it. If you're not looking at the light of the world, you're looking at something else that may just be the darkness of the world. And if you want good eyes, then look at the good things. Perceive, understand what those good things are. And so the question is, when these men came back looking for Jesus, what really were they looking for? They were not looking for the king that would be. They were not looking for the miracle worker. They were looking for food. They were looking for another meal. Again, Jesus said in John 6, going back to our text, this time looking at verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. What Jesus is saying is, you missed the point that I am the sustainer of life. So keep coming back to me. Trust in me, Jesus is saying, because I will give you what you need for life. And Peter would say in 2 Peter the first chapter in verse 3, that his divine power, that is the power of Jesus, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We need to see that. We need to see Jesus every day. And we need to see Jesus in the mirror. That when we look in the mirror to comb our hair and brush our teeth and do whatever else we may do, we need to see Jesus. But we need to see Him inside of us. And He will only get there when we look at Him and when we bring Him in to our hearts and into our lives. So they missed the miraculous sign, but they missed the truth. They missed the obvious intervention of God in their lives. Now, I want to look back in my life, and I want to say, you know what? I can see the hand of God where there were things that happened that I can't explain. I'm not talking about miraculous things. I'm talking about God keeping me alive and helping me get to this point in my life that He had a plan for me. I believe He has a plan for every one of us, don't you? And if we miss that, then we have missed the greatest thrill in our lives to know that God has included me in His plans. God has made a place for me in His will. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, the Bible talks about a statement that Jesus made in the temptation. And He said, being tempted, turn this stone, these stones into bread. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Did you get that? That's the truth that they missed. Because they were wanting more food so that they could go about their lives and miss the Messiah. This phrase, it is written, anytime you see that in the New Testament, that is the Greek perfect tense, which means it was written, it is written, and it will always be written. That's the perfect tense of this statement when Jesus said that. So here's the understanding. No matter what part we are in our lives, whether we are young or whether we're middle-aged or whether we are getting older, doesn't matter where we are. In every age of our lives, in every day of our lives, we must understand that man does not live on bread alone. And of course, somebody will smart off and say, absolutely, we need beef. Well, we do. But Jesus isn't meaning just bread. So they missed it. Number two, don't work. Some of you are glad to hear that. Don't work. Now, go back to John chapter 6, because I'm not done with that statement. Because Jesus said in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils. Okay, so we'll buy frozen food and take it home and put it in our freezer. No, that's not the answer that Jesus is looking for. Jesus is talking about don't work only for physical food. Work can consume a person. I remember back when we were in Andover and we had a guy named Jim who worked at Boeing. He was a member of the Lord's Church, worked at Boeing. And almost every week, not always, but almost every week, he worked 70 hours a week. 70. That's 30 hours overtime. That's a lot. That's a lot of work. And sometimes he volunteered for it. But there's a problem with that. One, sometimes people get in love with money. That can be a problem. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money. That's what the Bible teaches us. But what was this fella working for? Oh, I can't judge him. I'm not going to, but I can look at my life and tell you what I'm working for. And you can look at your life and tell yourself what you're working for. Yes, the Bible does tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. I guess that means some of us may need to tone down on some of the clothes, those loud clothes that we wear. You know, I do have that really loud pink tie that I wear up here, and I'll wear it next week, you'll remember. No, I can't. That's the Christmas tie I have to wear next week. But, you know, tone it down a bit. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. And that's the problem we really have. To mind your own business and to work with your hands just as we told you. That's what Paul wrote. And Paul also wrote in the second letter to that same church that was having a trouble with people who were thinking Jesus is coming back so soon, we'll give up our jobs, we'll quit working, and we'll mooch off of everybody else. Well, maybe people don't use that term mooch anymore, but you know what that means? It means to live at the expense of someone else. We'll mooch off of them like a leech. Well, that's not what God intends for us to do, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, there's a difference between will not and cannot. There's a world of difference between those two, and you have to make up your mind. So don't work for physical food only, and don't settle. Don't settle for this mere physical existence. There are a lot of people that do. They look at life and say, doesn't get any better than this. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it. I wish that we could have some godly commercials on television. And if you and I put them out, I know they'd be godly. But some of these other companies, maybe not so much. But there are people that are so consumed. Turn in your Bibles to the little book of Jude, right by Revelation. Don't you want to be a better Christian? See, really, some of you are saying, well, I'm a Christian already. This sermon doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. Don't you want to be a better Christian? Don't you want to help somebody else get to heaven? If you can. Don't you want to serve God and have Him say to you on that day of judgment, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I do. In the little book of Jude, starting at verse 17, people can get sidetracked. Because Jude wrote, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So there is quite the conflict here. There are those people who are mere men who live a mere life. And then there are these other people who trust in God and live a godly life and are looking forward to a heavenly reward. And he's saying to those people on this side, don't think you've arrived yet, because you need to keep building yourselves up in the most holy faith. Don't stop. So, don't settle for a mere existence. And Jesus said in Matthew the 6th chapter in verse 20, lay up treasure for yourselves in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Number three, finally, the work of God. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He sent. And we look at that word believe, we focus on that word believe because therein is the real crux of the matter. And what He is saying is this, see the miraculous sign. Understand what God has in mind for that miraculous sign and live accordingly. He's not saying, come to a conclusion in between your ears and let it stay there. He's not saying that at all in the least bit. In the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, I know we're in chapter 6, but I want to get clear to the end of the book. Sometimes it helps us to want to continue reading the first part of the book by going and reading to see what happens at the end of the book. Okay, you've never done that before. Well, make it a part of your custom. In John chapter 20, I know there's still chapter 21, but in John chapter 20, the Bible says in verses, well, let me back up, 29 through 31, then Jesus told him, and this is when Thomas literally saw the hole in Jesus' side and saw the holes in Jesus' hands, and Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That believing again is there, and it's in the present tense. It's in the present tense. Not that I have believed at some point in my life, but I began that belief and I've continued that belief and I'm believing today. Hopefully more than I believed yesterday, right? Because if we're not moving forward, we're moving backward. We can't stay constant. We can't stay in one place. We've either got to be moving forward or backward. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James, because that word believe is the word faith, and it's not just a noun. It's a verb. Faith is always a verb. And the issue is that if you really do believe something, do you know what you're going to do? You'll respond to it. You'll respond to it. And so we find ourselves looking at the example of Abraham in the book of James, beginning in the 21st verse of chapter 2. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. Now, don't distort what I just read. James is asking the question, can a man claim to have faith and have no deeds? Well, he can, but what kind of faith is it? It's dead. But he looks at Abraham, and he looks at the example of Abraham, and here was a man that when God said, I want you to go offer your son Isaac on the altar on Mount Moriah, he went to Mount Moriah. He made the wood, arranged it, made the altar, arranged it, bound his son hand and foot, put him on top, was ready to cut his throat and do whatever else was in mind for preparing a sacrifice. And God said, stop. Now I know. What did he know? That he was the father of faith. Because he heard what God told him to do, and he did it. Therein is the word believe. It's not a mere existence between our ears. It's the motivation for what we do. So this morning, I hope you didn't miss it. I hope you didn't miss the miraculous sign that Jesus did. Because in that miraculous sign, Jesus taught this one absolute truth. I am the bread of life. I'm the only sustainer of life, is really the point that he's making. And I hope that you won't just work just for your jobs. There's other work to do. What will this church be like in 20 years? I've been here 15 years. I'm sure I won't be here in 20 years. I'm sure if I won't have died or been run over by some outraged member of the Lord's church, or if I haven't died from cancer or something else, who will be here? Who will still carry on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? See, I used to be one of the young guys, and now everybody reminds me that I'm not anymore. And so the reality is, I began as a member of the Lord's Church, as a believer in Christ on July 29th, 1979. That means I've been at it for 36 and a half years. I don't know where time went, but I know where time is going. And I know the things that matter. I can't go back and change anything that I've done in the past. I can't, and neither can you. But I know this. I know what I can do today. Don't you? See, we can work for food that's not just food. What is the work of God? It's faith. That's what we're working toward. When we come together and worship, our purpose is to glorify God because of the faith that He has called us into. We're glad you're here. We really do want to help you get to heaven. That's why we're here. That's why when you were baptized into Christ, Christ added you to the church so that you could help me and I could help you, and together we can all get to heaven, bearing one another's burdens, working for the sake of overcoming sin, and working to save a brother or a sister from a choice that they should not make. We're in this together. I've said that for years. I still believe it, although I haven't said it 100 times this year. And so this morning, Jesus is the bread of life. Please don't miss that. And please don't work just for the bread, but do this. Do the work of God. It's your decision. I can't make you. God won't twist your arm. But He beckons us. If anybody here this morning needs to make a change in their Christian lives, we're going to sing this song. If anybody needs to make a change in their life by becoming a Christian, Jesus said, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever believes not shall be condemned." We believe that. We faith that. If we can assist you, if we can pray for you, if there is a physical need that you have or a spiritual need, come while we stand and sing.